Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. We just never know around here. Hope everyone's having a great week so far. Hope you have a better week to follow. And hello, Pam, and how are you tonight?
I am doing great. I just heard, hearing some thunder and seeing some flashes of lightning. So apparently we're getting some rain. It is nice because we need the rain, but, I'll just say it's nice because we need the rain for now. It's been a great day. I got to go out to dinner and then got some cleaning and baking done and, just a good all-around day. Yeah. How about you?
Well, I've had a nice quiet day, which is always wonderful. We had a decent dinner. I didn't cook anything too spectacular, but it was good. So that's what matters. And, we've been having thunder and lightning on and off for like the last 3 days. A lot of thunder. You should have heard it last night. I'm surprised you guys didn't hear it on the radio. It was so loud here. And I kept waiting. I said, if the power goes out, I'm just a goner, the only thing I can do is tell jokes on the phone, because I don't coordinate very well on the phone. But,
I get that too. The times my power has been out, it's like, and I can only comment by listening to a poem. It's like, okay, this is what I think is going on. But,
Absolutely. No. So listen, we got part two tonight, huh? Part two from last week.
We do. Yes.
Right.
Yes. How wonderful that we ended up with part two.
Absolutely. I think every so often we should do something like this, with the classic poets and, people's what they like and how they can express towards it. I like that.
I like it. I like the idea. Absolutely. It should be something that's occasionally done because of the fact that there's so many wonderful classic poets out there.
And there's so many people that are inspired by some of the classic artists, they heard something and they liked it when they were younger or young and, it sparked something in them or people that just read and decided, I really like this person, and then all of a sudden they write towards something that made them feel good. And I like that. It's a wonderful concept.
Yeah. Because a lot of times favorite classic poets, like you were saying, to a good memory, something, somebody we cared about or some good memory that we learned about this particular poet.
Absolutely.
We definitely had a great response. In fact, obviously such a great response to the contest that we were able to make this into a two-part show with doing both the classic poems and the poems of our all poetry poets.
Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to it. Lots of good stuff tonight. And that.
Me too.
That's important. So I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think there's anything else that I'm forgetting. Things have shifted on our boards, just so everyone is aware. Part Sinner and Part Saint is moving temporarily to our Wednesday after midnight slot into Thursday. I say that because I always get messed up with time zones. So Aphasiana and Babbler have moved there until, I believe, September. And that'll be interesting because it throws me all out of whack. But that doesn't take much either.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That will be.
Yes. Now, what else did we shift? I think we shifted something else. Oh, maybe we did not.
Oh, God.
That was probably. Yes, because Jeremy took a hiatus, so we slid parts and parts into his time zone, the time slot.
Yep.
And Fridays will be open. And then, yeah, I think that pretty much solves that. I just want to make sure I said something, because I know nobody's going to be looking for parts and parts in the middle of the week, except for those who read what Faziana had posted. But
right.
Heaven opens. So, yeah, that was her big transition there. Absolutely. And me and Pam, we just keep treading what we're doing the same days. Well, Pam does every day. You know, just about that.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That's a bit. But, yeah, so, yeah, it's going to be a good week, I think. Maybe a week of a little bit of change with just enough for us all. So.
Yep. But, yeah, and a lot of, you know, great shows, great topics, contests,
yep.
Topic boards to check out.
Always.
You know, if anybody's looking for inspiration.
Absolutely. And Thursday, Double Helix has something a little special going on. They have a pianist. I don't know her name. But she's going to be joining in for the show. And they're going to be, I think they ran a contest on her music for people to write to. So I think that that's what's happening on Thursday with them, and I think that's kind of a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought so, too. You thought so, too. I actually have written for that show. I wrote for that show. Rex wrote for it and a lot of great poets. Not that I count myself as a great poet, but they had an excellent response to those prompts.
That's wonderful.
It's just beautiful.
Very good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, it's always nice to have something new and have it work out and people respond to it. That makes a big difference. So that's excellent. So, I mean, we just got all these little things happening, you know. You know, and they're all worth mentioning. It's just I don't always remember them because, you know, heaven knows what, you know, racked my brain that specific day. Kids, grandkids, dogs, you never know. But I'm a little in tune tonight, so that's a blow. And, I know, I can't help myself. But if there's, I don't know. Anything else, Pam? Anything else you can think of?
That I can think of at this time? I see we have Stargazer on the board listening in, so I'd like to give a shout out to her. Hi, Stargazer. Good to see you.
Hello. Absolutely. Hello, Stargazer. There we go. There's another smile and a wave. Yeah? Yeah. That's excellent. So, well, Pam, whenever you're ready, I'm ready. You just let me know.
Sounds like a good plan. Let's get this ball rolling. There you go. Up first, we have Nothing Gold Can Stay by Robert Frost, and we have an audio for that.
Okay, and here we go.
Nature's first green is gold. Her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaves a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down to day. Nothing gold can stay.
Mm-hmm. Short and succinct.
Robert Frost, you know, always a favorite. Just absolutely stunning metered rhyming poetry. Yeah. Did I tell you about the Robert Frost book my daughter brought home for me?
No.
Oh my goodness, yeah, because at the last week of school they were getting rid of some of the older books in the middle school library, and she came across this Robert Frost book, and it's so cool because what it does is it has his poetry. It has each chapter has like some of his poems, photography taken by this photographer that's more modern times, but took pictures of the area that Robert Frost grew up in and matches it kind of like with the poems. And then it also has like, each chapter has like facts about his life.
Right.
Yeah.
I
was really happy. First of all, to have your child think of you, and then to get, you know, such a cool
treasure
present. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Very awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Yeah, I think that that's pretty wonderful. I have a book around here. I don't remember what, something I came across in a really obscure place. I have to think about which one it was. It's a neat one. But yeah, nothing like that.
Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, up next we have Darkness Is Not Meant to Stay, Jenny the Deep. And it goes like this. Beaming rays are always the first to rise and the last to leave the brightest of skies. As the sun sets, darkness towers above, but soon after the moon glows with love. Subsiding is all of our chilling tears. Golden guiding lights make our fears disappear. Falling stars burn the light of day, but in the night sky, lunar luminescence remains. Never letting the dark take over forever. All night and day, sun and moon work together. Not even darkness is meant to stay, for the sun is set to shine another day. End poem. And what a beautiful write by Jenny. And your thoughts, Phil?
This is a nice poem by Jenny. I like the fact it's a nice brevity, just as the prompt poem was. Beaming rays are always the first to rise and the last to leave the brightest of skies. As the sun sets, darkness towers above. But soon after, the moon glows with love. That was a nice lead-in. You know, it kind of sets the stage for where we go next. You know, and subsiding is all of our chilling fears. Golden guiding lights make our fears disappear. Falling stars burn the light of day, but in the night sky, luminescence remains. It's really nicely done. I think Jenny really, I think it's a great reflection of the original poem. It's not identical, but it's her take on thought, and I think it's wonderful and very well done. So, Jenny, I think you did a great job with this, and thanks for sharing. Absolutely. Wonderful day.
Yeah, I have to agree. It is nicely done, great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. As you said, it's a nice reflection off of the prompt. And I like the message and the idea that she speaks on, that there's always some sort of light to look towards, whether it's the sun or the moon, and even I think it can work as a metaphor for the idea that we can always find that bit of life and light inside ourselves, no matter what is happening around us. And I do like what the ending with the play on words with the word choice of the word set. Not even darkness is meant to stay, for the sun is set to shine another day. And I like how, you know, it means set as in ready to, but also the idea that the sun sets and we know, or we at least have, you know, hope that it will rise once again. So, you know, just absolutely, absolutely a stunning write, and very well done. Hey, did you know, Jean, did you know that if the sun were to die, it would take 8 minutes before we realize it?
Oh, yeah? I did not know that.
Yep. Yep, because of the traveling of the beams, it would take 8 minutes. And then after that 8 minutes, all hell would break loose.
I believe it would. I do believe that. I can imagine it might be a pretty thing. But, yeah, that's an interesting tidbit of information there, Pam.
Yeah. Well, I figured I'm going to throw out some sort of tidbit of information. Why not? You know, you just never know what you're going to get on the show. You could be entertained. You could learn some obscure fact. And, you know.
You never know when you'll find it, Ellen. It could be anything. We'll prove that time and time again. Oh, my God. How funny is that? Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
What example about math? Oh, I guess I better pay attention. I'm supposed to do something next.
All right. Hey. Well,
okay, I got my act together now.
All right. Well, up next we have The Cowboys Lament by Anonymous Americans, and we have a recording for that.
Okay, yeah, Rex was kind enough to record this one for us, so here we go.
As I walked out in the streets of Laredo, as I walked out in Laredo one day, I spied a poor cowboy wrapped up in white linen, wrapped up in white linen as cold as the day. Ho, beat the drum slowly and play the fife lowly, play the dead march as you carry me along. Take me to the green valley, lay the sod over me, for I'm a young cowboy and know I've done wrong. I see by your outfit that you are a cowboy. These words he did say as I boldly stepped by. Come sit down beside me and hear my sad story. I was shot in the breast and know I must die. Let 16 gamblers come handle my coffin. Let 16 cowboys come sing me a song. Take me to the graveyard, lay a sod over me, for I'm a poor cowboy and know I've done wrong. My friends and relations, they live in the nation. They know not where their boy has gone. He first came to Texas and hired to a ranch, and oh, I'm a young cowboy and know I've done wrong. Go write a letter to my gray-haired mother and carry the same to my sister so dear. But not a word of this shall you mention when a crowd gathers round you my story to hear. Then beat your drum slowly and play your fife lowly. Beat the dead march as you carry me along. We all love our cowboys, so young and so handsome. We all love our cowboys, although they've done wrong. There is another, more dear than a sister. She'll likely weep when she hears that I am gone. There is another who will win her affections, for I'm a young cowboy and they say I've done wrong. Go gather around you a crowd of young cowboys and tell them the story of my sad fate. Tell one and the other before they go further to stop their wild roving before 'tis too late. Oh, muffle your drums, then play your fife merrily. Play the dead march as you go along. And fire your guns right over my coffin. There goes an unfortunate boy to his home. It was once in the saddle, I used to go dashing. It was once in the saddle, I used to go gay. First to the dram house and then to the corn house. Got shot in the breast, I am dying today. Got six jolly cowboys to carry my coffin. Got six pretty maidens to bear up my pole. Put bunches of roses all over my coffin. Put roses to deaden the claws as they fall. Then swing your rope slowly and rattle your spurs lowly and give a wild whoop as you carry me along. And in the grave throw me and roll the sod over me, for I'm a young cowboy and know I've done wrong. Go bring me a cup of cold water to cool my parched lips, the cowboy said. Before I turned, the spirit had left him and gone to his giver. The cowboy was dead. We beat the drum slowly and played the fife lowly and bitterly wept as we bore him along. For we all loved our comrade, so brave, young, and handsome. We all loved our comrade, although he'd done wrong.
Wow.
Great. That was impressive.
Absolutely.
Yes. You know, and I would have been just happy if he had just read it, but to have him put in that extra effort and to hear his singing voice, which is just so grand, was, you know, like Stargazer said, a treat.
Absolutely, it was. And hi, Stel. Selena's with us, I see.
Yes, good to see Selena.
It was nice to hear that, because it added some wonderful, I don't know, it was just a slight melody that just kind of carried the words. And I think if he had read it, it would have sounded good, but I don't think it wouldn't have had the same kind of thought or feeling behind it, you know? It was a great song.
Right.
Absolutely. Selena,
right.
Where
have
exactly.
You been? Well, yeah.
Yes.
And that makes sense. It does.
Yeah. Yeah, just carried along. Yeah, enough.
It does. It does. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's totally funky. There you go, Stargazer. Absolutely. It's funny.
Yeah. And then actually, once I listened to that he was singing it, and I was looking at the top of the page where the poem was printed, and it put the poem in the category of folk music and spiritualism. I thought, well, that kind of makes, you know, and that must have been what clicked in Rex's mind was that it because it was in those two categories, it made sense to sing it.
Right.
So, at least, absolutely. I don't know, I can only guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that or
yeah,
he just
I
knew
guess.
It was supposed to be sung.
Maybe. I mean, he may have heard it somewhere at some point, too. You know, you never know.
He could,
In the cross thing, we just kind of click it into our brains. But he did a fine job with it. So, where are we going, girlfriend?
Stelina says Marty Robbins sang that particular right.
Yeah.
Really great. So, cool.
Okay. Let's see that.
All right. Well, inspired by that, we have Cowboys Don't Cry by Silent Tree. And would you go ahead, Jean, and give that a read for us, please?
You want me to read? I thought I was just here taking up space. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Well.
No. You show up here, we put you to work.
Yeah, that's the truth. Okay, this is called Cowboys Don't Cry by Silent Tree. The arrival. I held the reins and blazed the dusk dune wastes of old New Mexico. Astride mesa trails of peyote button laid by sage skin walking Navajo. I meandered the rolling rattlesnake rapid ravines of yellow-eyed canyons, wandered the winged reaper plateaus and carrion boneyards of abandon. A matchbook desert cowboy, notes of malted liquor and stale cigarettes. Scarlet neckerchief of gunpowder, shell perfume, and revolver regret. A locomotive draws near, leather whips fall upon sweat-stained back. I hear the singing steel hammers of chain gangs beating railway tracks. I rolled into town a tumbleweed atop a weathered stallion saddleback. Streets paved with bodies, dust porches lined with pine box paybacks. Rifts sawn timber trussed to windows as ash-veiled shadows roam, where dead men walking now call home. I came to rest their bones. Betty Lou. I cantered the stagecoach, fluted avenues, and pitted shotgun bows. My horsehair noose hitched atop cedar posts with cactus spurs. With a forked tongue and throat of sand, I approached the Buckhorn Saloon. Batwing doors of rusty steel grima, as my furrowed brow scanned the room. She rains the canned sour mash whiskey through cigar smoke plumes. Her faded cotton gown rifles and a worn sorghum bristled room. The rosewater scented perfume wafts like her syrup sweet meal. A warm comfort from the arid stables, streets of stale horse manure. Chestnut curls float down her nape to rest upon above cradled shoulders beneath her apron as my coal marrow smolders. I picture her dressing in Sunday best with laced moccasin shoes. My words stumbled broken lips to gaze upon brown-eyed Betty Lou. And
great read there, Jean, and what a wonderful story write by Silent Tree. A great take off of the Chosen prompt. And what I like about this is one of the things I like is, first of all, that I'm looking forward to parts 3, 4, and 5 because she says in her AN, this is the first two parts. And you can see at the end of the poem where it says 3, the gambler, 4, high noon, and 5, the getaway. But I remember her excitement when I first started this contest up and, you know, was getting the word out there. She was chatting in Late Night Poets, and she was very excited about trying a cowboy-themed epic poem that was in 5 parts. So, you know, it's just great to see somebody get excited about something. So wonderful to have the anticipation. So Silent Tree, do not tease us. Those next 3 parts, you know, because, hey, I'm going to volunteer open poetry night. I'm going to say, if you write those other 3 parts in segments, we could get them on an open poetry night. Just saying.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree with you. It was really a great, fabulous story told. Great use of imagery and the use of alliteration as well. I look forward to the next 3 parts myself. It's really, really well done. I got myself tripped up a couple of times and I felt bad because I was like, wait a minute. So I really had to slow my pace to make sure I did not totally mutilate the poor poem, you know, and I apologize for that Silent Tree. But yeah, it was really well done. It was great eye for detail throughout, and the story was really well told, I have to say that. And I'm looking forward to the next 3 parts myself. But yeah, Sam, wrangle them up when you get them. Throw them on a Friday board. You know, I'm always good about that. Throw me another one. I like it.
Yeah.
Excellent work. And thanks for sharing, Silent Tree. Great job.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I like what you had to say about her attention to detail. And you notice that right away, like she brings in the mesa, the peyote, the Navajo, you know, even the mention of the rattlesnakes, the plateaus, the carrion. I mean, all these little details that make up the New Mexico desert area back in the days when cowboys roamed the land. And, you know, I always like a good story, a good narrative poem that's told in rhyme. I particularly like "A Locomotive Draws Near, Leather Whips Fall Upon Sweat-Stained Backs. I Hear the Stinging Steel Hammers of Chain Gangs Beating Railway Tracks. I rolled into town, a tumbleweed atop a weathered stallion saddleback. streets paved with bodies, dust porches lined with pine box paybacks. That really creates the atmosphere in the poem. And, of course, you have to bring along a love interest. This takes me back to, like, you know, looking at reading my grandfather's Zane Grey novels. And, you know, just like the classic kind of cowboys type shows and books that you would see where there was always, you know, a hero, a bad guy, and a love interest or two, you know. But So definitely a wonderful write by Silent Tree. I'm glad she was inspired.
Yeah, me too. It was nicely done. For sure.
All right. Yeah. And up next we have Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night by Dylan Thomas. And we have a recording for that.
Okay, and here we go. And this is recorded by Anthony Hopkins. So I hope it sounds as good as I want it to. Here we go.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Though wise men at their end know dark is right, because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. Good men, the last wave by, crying how bright their frail deeds might have danced in the green bay. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Wild men who caught and sang the sun in flight, and learned too late they grieved it on its way. Do not go gentle into that good night. Grave men near death who see with blinding sight, blind eyes could blaze like meteors in the day. Rage, rage against the dying of the night. You, my father, there on the sad height, curse, bless me now with your fierce tears, I pray.
That was an absolutely wonderful recording. I have to say, you know, if I was queen, I would have given Sir Anthony Hopkins a knighthood just for that reading.
Oh, my gosh.
But
oh, I just like
it's funny, though, when we've got these classic poem recordings that we find on YouTube, and there's so much many treasures to be found there. But
right.
I get thrown off because I keep expecting to hear someone say end poem.
Right,
and they
right.
don't.
I
know.
They're supposed to do that.
Yeah, I guess nobody fills them in.
The only thing that's right. Like, they must have missed that part of the script. The only thing I did not like about that was I felt that the music was too loud. So,
I agree.
And I thought it was just a little hard because I couldn't hear some of the words, although I knew they were there, of course, but it just kind of, you know, made me a little
sad. There definitely were parts where the music was a little too loud. I mean, it was a great choice, but, you know, a little loud. And the piano at the end threw me off because it was, you know, it was nice and dramatic, but it had these pauses, and I unpause, you know, like my phone, I'd unmute it, and
I did the same thing. I was like, wait a minute, what is this doing? But story of my day, just goes to show me, you got to be careful, even with the professionals. Just saying, Mr. Hopkins.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, I think end poem is what they should have to do that, Stargazer. I think everyone should have to say end poem at the end.
You have a clue. That's right.
I agree with Sam, too. I think we should sign a petition and send it over there for all these people. He's funny. Okay, Pam. What are we going to do
all
now?
Right. Well, inspired by that, we have Where Mockingbirds Cry by Cedar Chapman. And it goes like this. When bugles blow to blackened skies, ash falls like snow on deadened eyes. Poppies burn fields to and fro, silence singing like a warm July. Though frail pastures may grow where black ravens fly, dare you not go where mockingbirds cry. Rage, rage, rage. Let not brass trumpets sound the stage. Slumber can wait. Stay here with me. Lay still beneath our sycamore tree, pondering smiles of the crescent moon. Lunar songs bathe glimmering dune. Taste the menthol, our first kiss. A flickering beacon guides the dark abyss. Let us embark to storms we'll fly, our hands entwined, we'll dare defy. 1,000 sunsets yet unseen, skies ablaze, its hues serene. Rage, rage, rage. Out, out, damned spots of age, from tube-filled beds you shall rise. Flames be kindled in your hazel eyes. Mirrors fracture, crumble to dust. Ballads grieve at breath seams. Copper statues, green with rust. Dripping watercolor dreams. My voice leads you to the light. My flesh bloodied, my spirit rues. Knuckles clenched, sinewy white. Splintered knees on a red oak pew. I grasp onto your ankles, floating up high. Do not go gentle to where mockingbirds cry. End poem. And what an absolutely stunning write by Cedar Chapman. And your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was just wonderful. Cedar does, he writes very well throughout a lot of the work that I've seen. And to see him check out one of the classic poems and kind of write to it, because this is not at all like it, but it's very much his take on it, you know, the way it feels to him. And I like that. You know, poppies burn fields to and fro, silent singing like a warm July. Through frail pastures may grow, though may frail. See this? Here I go. It's a bad night for reading. Poppies burn fields to and fro, silent singing like a warm July. Though frail pastures may grow where black ravens fly, dare you not go where mockingbirds cry. It has a wonderful feel to it, same as the original. It just is so real for him in his state. You know, rage, rage, rage. Let not brass trumpets sound the stage. And I have to say, I really liked the way he ended it. You know, my voice leads you to the light, my flesh bloodied, my spirit wounds, knuckles clenched, sinewy white, splintered knees on a red oak pew. I grasp onto your ankles, floating up high. Do not go gentle to where mockingbirds cry. I think that he really did a great job. It's a good reflection on that poem. It's not about the same thing, which I don't think it should have been, you know. And I think that it's just a fine job, and he truly took the concept and made it his own. So I like it very much. And Cedar, another great piece. Thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have to agree. I like that Dylan Thomas's classic poem that was written for his father when his father was dying, and he turned it into his own version, his own a love story between two people, and not wanting to let go, even though you know it's time for that person to go. You know, you just want them there with you. The rhyme in this is just spot on, wonderful meter, powerful imagery. I like the nod to Dylan Thomas with the rage, rage, rage that he had in there a couple of times. And, man, there's the great lines all the way through. But, you know, I do especially like these couple of stanzas. Slumber can wait. Stay here with me, lay still beneath our sycamore tree with the wonderful lines and mirrors fracture, crumble to dust, ballads grieve at breast seams, copper statue, green with rust, dripping watercolor dream. And I believe that was a stanza that either Stargate, well, somebody, I know I saw somebody in Late Night Poets mention that particular yes, it was Selena mentioned that particular part about dripping watercolor dreams was lovely imagery, and yes, absolutely. I definitely have to agree. And in his AN, he says that he says you cannot recreate a masterpiece, but if talent be gold and all I can afford is a facsimile wordsmithed by my shaky hands. Some say ignorance is bliss, so perhaps fool's gold can still spread joy. I like that. I like it. And I truly believe so. And here's a nice little challenge. He says, I've added literary and religious symbols and allusion just to have more fun with it. Hope you can spot them. What do you think, Gene? Shall we try to spot those religious and...
I don't know if I could do that. You know.
I do see some of them really stand out. Like, you know, like obviously Out Damn Spot is one. I do think the reference to the Ravens is a reference to Poe's the Raven, and the trumpets I think are a religious reference as obviously the pews, and but yeah, definitely I do recommend people, if they haven't read this poem yet, definitely give it a read, and you know, see if you can find those symbols and the allusion to literature and religious elements. So,
absolutely.
I like when poets provide little Easter eggs like that, because I think it's not only fun for them, it's fun for those who, you know, choose to read their poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah. All good stuff, Pam. All good stuff. That's a good poem. Came from this contest, and I think it was just a wonderful, wonderful turnout all the way through. And I agree with Stelina too. The dripping watercolor dreams. I did like that line very much. There was just a lot in it that I really did like. I got chunks. I want this chunk over here.
Absolutely. And yes, people did definitely bring their A game tonight. That is for sure. Well, not just tonight, for this contest, for this past couple of weeks, people have brought their A game. So.
I see.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. And up next, we have Writing by Charles Bukowski. And we have an audio for that.
Here we go.
Writing by Charles Bukowski. Often it is the only thing between you and impossibility. No drink, no woman's love, no wealth can match it. Nothing can save you except writing. It keeps the walls from failing, the hordes from closing in. It blasts the darkness. Writing is the ultimate psychiatrist, the kindliest god of all the gods. Writing stalks death. It knows no quit. And writing laughs at itself, at pain. It is the last expectation. The last explanation. That's what it is.
That was impressive. Another one where the music was a bit loud, but, you know, the music, the background effects and the music had an intensity that worked really well with the poem.
Yeah, I thought the music was loud, but it didn't interfere with the words. That's
yeah.
What the big difference was, because the voice was totally above the music at all times, I think. I like the
yes.
Excellent. Good job.
I do have to agree. I do have to agree, for sure. All right. And inspired by that poem by Bukowski, we have A Wink to Bukowski by Stargazer777. And we have a recording for that.
Absolutely. Okay, and here goes.
A Wink to Bukowski, inspired by his poem, Writing, by Valerie Dubois. Writing is the hand that saves you from yourself when you're teetering on the ledge. It is the voice you hear when it seems God is holding his breath. Writing is the shrill sound that breaks the silence. It's the candle still burning on the nightstand and the phantom listening behind the door. It leaves you staggering for days, and just when you think you're empty, it picks you up by the ankles and shakes the emptiness out. It is neither a confidant nor a liar, and the truth it contains depends solely on the people who are sitting at the table. Writing is the stingiest of men, for it demands you lie naked with it, even on nights when you can't think of anything worse than taking off your clothes. Some days, it can leave you panting in a pool of your own piss, and on others, it pads your chest with the self-respect your parents forgot to dress you in. Writing is the mark of a person willing to die again and again, and yet it is the only thing that turns death over in its grave.
Excellent. Excellent piece. So great.
That was absolutely a stunning read. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I have to say, Stargazer's work is, it always has a certain power to it, a strength behind the words. She's not afraid to go toe-to-toe with Bukowski ever. And I give her credit on that because, you know, not everyone can, take on that challenge. But I think this is just wonderful. Excuse me. You know, the first stanza alone, writing is the hand that saves you from yourself when you're teetering on the ledge. How true is that? I mean, really, you know, now not everyone does that, but a lot of us as poets, you know, when that day comes along and you're just trying to make heads or tails of it, you know, it'll do that. It just draws you in, and it keeps you kind of with both feet on the ground still. And I think that was a wonderful way to start in on this. And I think that this is a wonderful reflection on the original piece. It really is. Writing is the shrill sound that breaks the silence. It's the candle still burning on the nightstand and the phantom listening behind the door. It leaves you staggering for days, and just when you think you're empty, it picks you up by the ankles and shakes the emptiness out of you. I think this is just fabulous, Star, and I think you did a wonderful job with this. And I want to thank you so much for participating in the contest. It really was just well done, and I really enjoyed it. Yes.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I have to agree with you. I'm so glad to see that she was inspired, and yes, I had to smile big time when you said that she goes toe-to-toe with Bukowski, because that is so true, so true. So mm-hmm. I like that. And, this is a wonderful response to the prompt. And I like how the general message to me speaks on the idea of how writing can be something so beautiful, but yet at the same time, when you're a poet, you know, and it doesn't always come easy, it can be almost like a sense of self-torture. Sometimes you just want to let it go. You know, you want to just have a day where, you know, things don't pop into your head. I know that there was one time I was just walking out to the mailbox, and I think between the time that I opened the front door and I got to the mailbox, I had seen 10 different things or had 10 different thoughts about, you know, different possibilities for poems. And I'm like, dang it, Pam, can't you even just walk to the mailbox without thinking about poetry? But, you know. this was a wonderful write all the way through. I really like how she's very consistent with her tone, and it gives it a very polished feel. And I also like the personification of writing. And as you said, there's a strength to her lines. It is neither a confidant nor a liar, and the truth it contains depends solely on the people who are sitting at the table. Writing is the stingiest of men, for it demands you lie naked with it, even on nights when you can't think of anything worse than taking off your clothes. And then that ends, near the end, I have to, the second to last stanza where it says, it pads your chest with the self-respect your parents forgot to dress you in. And I think for anyone who has grown up where in a situation where they were not taught self-respect and even self-esteem, not only learning that you can do something like write, like express yourself through writing, but the fact that, you know, you can become part of a community and meet like-minded people, I think really helps it feel like your family has grown. So just an absolutely amazing write and very well done.
Yeah, it's fabulous. I was kind of looking forward to that, but don't tell Steph. Just say. Yes. There's not everyone that can go toe-to-toe with Bukowski.
That's
even in
right.
Even the fellas I've read, they do okay, but Star really does go toe-to-toe with him. I like it. And that's something grand, I think. Yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I see we have a newcomer, Absol, on the board. I don't know if he's listening to the show, but I see that he seems to be reading along with the poetry, so that's always great. And a shout out to him. Very cool.
I'll drop the link. I'm going to drop the link for the show.
That would be awesome. Maybe he's
Dead.
Yeah, there you go.
I love you too. She loves me. But I.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you for that.
I just told the truth because I've always felt that way about her work. So, just one on one like that. I like. Yeah, it's just stuff. So, also, if you're not listening to the show, that's a link where you can listen to the show. And I guess I'm beating a dead horse here if I'm talking to him and he's not listening to the show. Oh my God. You know, I'm so stupid sometimes. I love it. Okay. Oh no, you cannot. No choking, no coughing, no hacking, no passing out, Pam. He's going to leave me by myself.
If I pass out, you'll know it.
Yes, I'll be very alone. We can have none of that. Oh my God, how'd you tell Selena to call him quick? But yes. So wherever you want to go next, Pam, I'm in for it. It's only 11 o'clock.
All right. Well,
okay.
Up next we have the Wild Swans at Cooley. And at least I apologize if I think it's Cooley, but I'm not 100% sure.
Me neither.
All right. I'm sure Selena would be able to tell us. And, you know, I got to start looking things like this up ahead of time. But this is by William Butler Yeats, and we have a recording for that.
Okay, and here we go.
The Wild Swans at Cool by W.B. Yeats. The trees are in their autumn beauty. The woodland paths are dry. Under the October twilight, the water mirrors a still sky. Upon the brimming water among the stones, are 59 swans. The 19th autumn has come upon me, since I first made my count. I saw before I had well finished, wolves suddenly mount, and scatter wheeling in great broken rings, upon their clamorous wings. I have looked upon those brilliant creatures, and now my heart is sore. Wolves change since I, hearing the twilight, the first time on this shore. The bell beat of their wings above my head, trod with a lighter tread. Unwearied still, lover by lover, they paddle in the cold. Companionable streams or climb the air, their hearts have not grown old. Passion or conquest, wander where they will, attend upon them still. But now they drift on the still water, mysterious, beautiful. Among what rushes will they build, by what lake's edge or pool? Delight men's eyes when I awake some day to find they have flown away.
That was a beautiful read. I don't remember on the video if it said specifically who did the read, but I have to say they have a wonderful voice.
Yes, I agree with that. I agree. No, well... It may have.
It must be this guy, Tom Zulum.
It was by
Cool.
Tom somebody or another.
Yeah, Stargazer says Tom Bedlam.
Sorry. By Tom O'Bedlam. Huh. Can someone talk to me? I gotta shut that down. Like being at the bar, you know, somebody wants to talk to me. You gotta go, man. I can't talk right now. Sorry. Just being an
idiot. Definitely a great read of a classic poem. And that's a classic poem I actually had never heard or read before. So, you know, another great thing about, now there is quite a bit of classic poetry, I do know, but there are ones that, because there is so many that, you know, slip by me. And so doing these shows really gives me an opportunity, gives many of us an opportunity to get to read and hear poets that we haven't before.
Right. I think a lot of times what happens on the site is, you know, we end up reading each other and listening to each other and what have you. And every now and then it's nice to go back to some of the classic poets and kind of find where people got their original inspirations from. I think that makes a difference. And it just gives us a different perspective sometimes on writing. And I think that's wonderful because somebody may have never heard Yeats before. And after that poem, they might go, oh, let me check him out, you know, and it'd send them down a different path, you know, just for a while. I mean, we all take a path here and there and then come back to it. And, you know, it just changes our thought process a little bit, I think. You know, it doesn't change who we are or how we write, but it gives us different food for thought, I think. What the hell do I know, Pam? What the hell do I know?
Oh my god, yeah, I gotta behave myself. And Zelina says, "When You Are Old" by Yeats, wonderful. That one I've actually read. In fact, I actually I wrote a poem to inspired by "When You Are Old" by Yeats. So
Definitely.
Great inspiration out there, that is for sure. All right. Well, up next we have The Wild Swan Thakuli by Swimmer of Seas. And Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
I will. The Wild Swan Thakuli by Swimmer of Seas. She gazes on Hibernian lakes, leaving more than what she takes, and all the dancing feathered sighs merge as one in rustic skies. Beholden to the whims of fate, she casts away both friend and mate. Her ghostly drift upon the calm is both curse and saintly balm. Measureless upon the shale, alas, no angle tells the tale. A draughtsman hand fails to see her graceful form, wild and free. Her noble neck, a question mark, a glowing light in seas of dark. More the sum and less the part, a flying nameless piece of light. And
wonderful read there. Yeah, that just a beautiful write. I'm really impressed with Swimmer of Seas, and you know, really glad to see that he was inspired. Great rhyme flow, wonderful imagery. Of course, I always like to learn new words, or words that are new for me, like Hibernian, which I had to just look up, which means anything related to Ireland, because Hibernia is actually the ancient word for Ireland, and so yeah, learned something new there. Very cool.
Me too.
Very cool. I like that. Let's see here. Oh man, stunning imagery all the way through. I will say, all my life, swans have been one of my favorite birds. In fact, when we had to choose an instrument in third grade band, I chose to learn the trumpet because my favorite book was Trumpet of the Swan.
There you go. I get it. I think that's pretty cool. Swans are beautiful creatures. They really are. They have such a grace about them. But I hear there, too, they can be mean. They really do.
Yeah. But, yeah, I really like this all the way through. But I think the second and fourth stanzas are definitely my favorite. Beholden to the whims of fate, she casts away both friend and mate. Her ghostly drift upon the calm is both curse and saintly balm. And I like how this almost has a mythological fairy tale element to it. You know, like it makes you think of the fairy tale about the the princess who's turned into a swan. Or I seem to remember, wasn't there one? There was this fairy tale about this girl whose brothers were turned into swans, and the only way she could get them back was to knit sweaters or shirts for them, but she had to knit them out of something like thorns. Gosh, it's been so long since I've read it.
Believe you.
You know. And I don't even know if Swimmer of Seas was making reference to this. This is just kind of when I read a poem about swans, this is the kind of stuff that I think about. But beautiful, mm-hmm. Right, and very well done.
Absolutely.
And your thoughts, Jean?
You know, I thought this was just a really wonderful piece. I want to call it a brevity, you know, with the four stanzas. I thought there was great imagery in it, and I thought it was a great take on the chosen font, and I really enjoyed it. I had never heard the original, let alone this one, and this was very well done. I've only seen Swimmer of Seas work twice, and both times it was very, very well penned. And with this one, I took the first and second stanza. I'm with you, Pam. I like the second one, and I did like the fourth one as well. The third one was good as on top of it, so I guess it's a win-win-win-win. But she gazes on Hibernian lakes, leaving more than which she takes, and all the dancing feathered sighs merge as one in rustic skies. Beholden to the whims of fate, she casts away both friend and mate. Her ghostly drift upon the calm is both curse and saintly balm. I just think it was really well written, and I really like the feel of it and the sound of it. You know, there's something about it that, you know, it's not just the words. It kind of has, carries a feeling to it. And I like that very, very much. You know, yes, I don't know how else to explain that. I don't have words. I used to write. I think I wrote them all up and that was it. But it was just an excellent, really an excellent piece. So I like it very much. So thank you, Swimmer of Seas.
Oh, definitely. And you are right. There, it isn't just about the imagery. There is definitely a tone of emotion within the line.
And
that,
my understanding, it says here, she casts away both friend and mate. You know, I assume he's speaking of a swan. And swans mate for life, so... There's something, there's more going on here than meets the eye, you know. So I think it was just an excellent job. So very well done. Mm-hmm. Great job. I'll be quiet now, Pam.
Oh, well, we got plenty of time for extra chit-chat. So,
don't be telling people that. They want us to talk more.
All right. I hope this link works because it doesn't post the thing. Let me click and see. Otherwise, I might have to go get it. Oh, it does work. Oh, no, it doesn't. That's the wrong poem. All right. Let me.
Wrong. Yes.
You know what?
Yes, yes.
I will go ahead and just say what we have.
I thought I
What's
had
that?
Put up the other one. I thought I had put up the other poem. I guess I did not. No. Oh, that's odd. Okay.
Yeah, well, the link is broken. That's why. The link is broken. But, yeah, we have I Remember by Thomas Hood. And we can play the audio, and then I'll just go to Thomas Hood's page and grab his poem if I can.
Okay, we can do that. Okay, I'll get it started. And, and here we go. Okay, I'm ready. Here we go.
Yes, I remember Adelstrop, the name.
Oh,
it was
no.
One afternoon of heat.
I'm not ready. I don't know why I played that one. Maybe I'll go. Try the right one next.
I remember the house where I was born, the little window where the sun came peeping in at morn. He never came a wink too soon, nor brought too long a day. But now I often wish the night had borne my breath, away. I remember the roses, red and white, the violets and the lily cups, those flowers made of light, the lilacs where the robin built, and where my brother set the laburnum on his birthday. The tree is living yet. I remember where I was used to swing and thought the air must rush as fresh to swallows on the wing. My spirit flew in feathers then that is so heavy now, and summer pools could hardly cool the fever on my brow. I remember the fir trees dark and high. I used to think their slender tops were close against the sky. It was a childish ignorance, but now I'm not beguiled to know I'm further off from heaven than when I was a child. Thomas Hood, with apologies for the last three lines, from Jeanette Miller.
Well, that was a really nice read. Have to say, though, I'm very frustrated because all poetry's linked to the poem I Remember by Thomas Hood is not working. It does not complete the link, and it leads to the poem I Remember by Stevie Smith, who Smith is a wonderful classic poet, but it doesn't do me any freaking good.
I get upset about it. It's like, oh, well, you know, we just
I know. I can't help it.
It is that way.
Yeah.
But it still was an
absolutely beautiful read. Found on YouTube. I thought that lady did a nice read of it. And I really like Thomas Hood's poetry. So I do have to say, if anybody hasn't read Thomas Hood, I actually highly recommend him. He was somebody I actually either have already done a show on or planned on doing a show on. I can't remember which. All the thoughts start to blend together. But he's actually oftentimes dismissed. I'm reading this up from his bio. Sometimes dismissed as a lesser poet of the Romantic era. He was not only a Romantic writer, he was also a comic writer.
Right. Yeah. Yes, Selena, I get it. The YouTube video, that would have been okay for the audio. Absolutely. I think when I was looking, I'm not sure exactly why I didn't grab that one. But the read was good. It was the written words we couldn't find. So.
Yes. Sorry about that. Yes. The read was good. It was just, the written part I see you found it. So good. I'm glad we got it up there. So very cool.
Well, of course, I had to go off site to grab it, but it's all right. Just so everybody can read it if they wanted to. It was a nice
thing. There you go.
Absolutely. But it was just well done. Very well done.
Absolutely. I have to agree. All right. Let's see what we have next. Up next, we have A Moment of Reminiscence by Silvana Five. And we have an audio for that.
Okay, and here we go.
In a moment of reminiscence, I gazed upon rich blue cornflowers adorning the old garden fence. Rays of sunlight, like spun gold, fell upon the place where, clothed in love, in never-ending summers, or so it seemed, I whiled away the hours amid blooms woven like a tapestry within its garden borders. Painted with imagined colors of an artist's palette, I created a scene from halcyon bygone days, happy, unclouded, freedom-loving memories came alive. With willowy blossom, the cherry tree bloomed forth. I heard again the sublime song of the blackbird. In dappled shade, fireflies hovered over the rippling stream, where innocence, born of youth, sat, unaware of the passing of time. With Mother Nature, I dwelt along, no thought of what tomorrow brings, carefree as a summer breeze, till slumber kissed my weary eyes.
That was a wonderful recording. I have to say, a beautiful write by Silvana, and a wonderful recording done by her sister, our very own Stelina. And and just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. Oh, man, I just love the imagery in this from the very beginning. In a moment of reminiscence, I gazed upon rich blue cornflowers adorning the old garden fence. You know, there's something about looking at those cornflowers and the blue that and the garden fence. I mean, there's so much delightful imagery in this. It has a very nostalgic feel to it. I really like where it says, painted with imagined colors of an artist's palette, I created a scene from halcyon bygone days, happy, unclouded, freedom-loving memories came alive with willowy blossoms, the cherry tree bloomed forth. Oh, man, you know, I just, there's something about those flowering trees, like cherry trees, you know, and they don't last very long, but when they're in full bloom, it's just, you know, amazing. And I like how the end lines pay tribute to the nod towards Mother Nature, then till slumber kissed my weary eyes. It really makes you think of the idea of someone's last moments on this in this life before they pass on. I think it'd be taken as literal, like, you know, going to sleep, but I take it more as the idea of representing the end of life and the idea of death and those thoughts that may come to somebody at the end of their life as they're looking back. Wonderful lines all the way through and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought that this poem was just gorgeous. I love the reminiscence throughout and the look back in time. You know, lovely thoughts all the way through. There's a softness to it, a kindness in the word. It's not really the word I want, but it's one that comes to me now. I guess that from beginning to end, it was wonderful. You know, it's not a really long poem, but it really gives you that rich depth and feeling and everything. And I think that makes it wonderful. So wonderful jobs, Silvana, and excellent audio, Selena. You know, as always, you never disappoint with that. That is for sure. So wonderful job. And I want to thank you very much for sharing that. Mm-hmm. That's the original.
Absolutely. Oh, that is wonderful. And Selena says, this was a real memory of our grandmother's garden. Silvana is an avid gardener. Oh, that is really nice. And that makes sense, because you can really see the love of the garden within her line. So,
yeah.
Very cool.
It was nice. Very
and,
nice. Beautiful.
Yeah, it is nice that the two of them as sisters get to share their poetry together. That's,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's awesome.
Very true. Very, very true.
So
absolutely.
Up next, we have The Haunted Palace by Edgar Allan Poe. And we mm-hmm. have an audio for that.
Okie doke. And here is that.
In the greenest of our valleys, by good angels tenanted, once a fair and stately palace, a radiant palace, reared its head. In the monarch Thought's dominion, it stood there. Never seraph spread a pinion over fabric half so fair. Banners yellow, glorious, golden, on its roof did float and flow. This, all this, was in the olden time long ago. And every gentle air that dallied in that sweet day, along the ramparts plumed and pallid, a winged odor went away. Wanderers in that happy valley, through two luminous windows, saw spirits moving musically to a lute's well-tuned law. Round about a throne where sitting poor Phirogene, in state his glory well befitting, the ruler of the realm was seen, and all with pearl and ruby glowing was the fair palace door, through which came flowing, 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 and sparkling evermore, a troop of echoes, whose sweet duty was but to sing in voices of surpassing beauty the wit and wisdom of their king. But evil things in robes of sorrow assailed the monarch's high estate. Ah, let us mourn, for never morrow shall dawn upon him desolate. And round about his home the glory that blushed and bloomed is but a dim remembered story of the old time entombed. And travelers now within that valley, through the red-litten windows, see vast forms that move fantastically to a discordant melody, while like a ghastly rapid river through the pale door, a hideous throng rush out forever and laugh, but smile no more.
You know, that was such a delight to, you know, I mean, I think that Basil Rathbone is a perfect choice to read in Edgar Allan Poe poem. And, you know, Edgar Allan Poe, there's just something about listening to his poetry that even though it's dark, there's almost a calming effect, which is
mm-hmm.
an odd thing. But, you know, just definitely... one of the all-time greats.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
And absolutely. And inspired by that, we have The Haunted Palace by Robert M., and we have an audio for that.
Yeah.
This is my recital of The Haunted Palace, a poem inspired by Edgar Allan Poe. In the bleakest of amber eyes, houses a place lost to time, Through demise after demise, its halls no longer chime. Luminosity's auspicious glow held dominion upon each wall. Over time's relentless flow, only whispers and shadows crawl. Where once there was warm embrace as gaieties intertwined, restless spirit claimed this place and all that were confined. Every memory once held dear, every dream that manifested, was lost to the insatiable fear, leaving sorrow uncontested. Unadulterated anguish seeping as calamity unabated, ghosts of promises worth keeping now utterly decimated. Each graven remnant clawing to escape the frigid tomb is just another specter gnawing at the chains of their own doom. Now a crypt of ruthless cold entombing sin upon sin, a sight of misery to behold beneath my wretched skin.
Wonderful read and write there, Robert. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh, this is wonderful. Robert has such a wonderful ability to write dark poetry. And when you put Poe in front of him, he's in his element, I believe, you know. This piece was just very, very well done. I love the introduction in the stanza. In the blanket of amber, in the bleakest of amber eyes, houses a place lost to time. Through demise after demise, its halls no longer chime. Luminosity's auspicious glow held dominion upon each wall. Over time's relentless flow, only whispers and shadows fall. He really sets the stage there, you know. Because in my mind, I visualize these amber eyes and a dark background, and then I start. It builds. The story just grows as he travels through the poem, and I think that it's just a pretty incredible piece. You know, his ending stanza again. Now a crypt of ruthless cold, entombing sin upon sin, a sight of misery to behold beneath my wretched skin. He just knows how to state it and get your attention. And I think that, you know, as Stargazer goes toe-to-toe with Bukowski, I think that Robert really goes toe-to-toe with Edgar Allan Poe a lot of times. I really believe that. He just definitely, I don't know. I think Poe whispers in his ear a lot of times. Really, it's amazing to me how he's so one with that darkness. And a fabulous job. So wonderful job, Robert, and thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have to agree. I'm really glad that Robert shared this poem with us, and it is a great inspiration. And it's nice to, and he actually got a silver in this from one of Spelina's contests, so well-deserved there. You know, great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. He definitely has a voice and a writing style that works well as a reflection of Edgar Allan Poe's work. And I like how this is about a man haunted by his own past, by his own spirit inside his own flesh. And you know, the idea of just kind of that fall into darkness. Wonderful lines all the way through, but I especially like where once there was warm embraces, gaieties intertwined, restless spirits claimed this place and all that were confined. Every memory once held dear, every dream that manifested was lost to the insatiable fear, leaving sorrow uncontested. So just absolutely amazing, amazing write and very well done. So yeah, I'm
absolutely, yeah. I agree with you 100%.
Yep, and I have to say that, you know, Robert M. is somebody on All Poetry that if you haven't checked him out, which most people have, but if you haven't, I do highly recommend it, especially if you like dark poetry.
Absolutely.
You know, so that, you know, all poetry, late night poets, we have so many just extremely talented poets.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Maybe more. Very, very many wonderful poets and creative minds and generous people. One to share their work with us all the time. And to me, that's its own kind of generosity. You know, everyone gets to hear it and appreciate it. Pretty important. So,
absolutely.
Put that up.
And I do appreciate that about the shows and the opportunity to, like, you know, giving people the opportunity to share their poetry. So, well, up next, our next classic poem is She Walks in Beauty by George Gordon Byron, otherwise known as Lord Byron. And if people click on the link, they're going to see a bunch of biographical information. You have to just scroll slightly and to see the actual poem itself. But we do have an audio for that.
Okay, here we go.
She Walks in Beauty by Lord Byron. She walks in beauty like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes. Thus mellowed to that tender light which heaven to gaudy day denies. One shade the more, one ray the less, had half impaired the nameless grace which waves in every raven tress, or softly lightens o'er her face, where thoughts serenely sweet express. How pure, how dear their dwelling place. And on that cheek and o'er that brow, so soft, so calm, yet eloquent, the smiles that win, the tints that glow, but tell of days in goodness spent, a mind at peace with all below, a heart whose love is innocent.
That was another one that was a stunning read. Tom Hiddleston. And I love how the video, when I found it, says, She Walks in Beauty, read by Loki. I got a big kick out of that.
Oh, so fun.
So, yes. And another one that's just a all-time, one of the most beautiful classic poets, in my opinion, as far as writing goes, is Lord Byron. So, you know, great choice there shared. And inspired by that, we have I Bathe in Dawn by Arcana Amore, and we have a recording for that.
Yes, we do. I'm looking forward to this one, too. Okay, here goes.
I bathe in dawn that softly creeps, where rises light o'er raven skies. On whispers speak of night there sleeps, thus tender glow of warmth to rise. the gloam be gone in fleeting leaps. There seeks the sun to wake my eyes. The frost of morn bids hushed farewell, and sees fair dew that gently fades. How sweet a chorus the song to tell, which sweeps my ears in verdant glades. The taste of innocence there to dwell, which flutters in trilling serenades. Where drift the clouds o'er autumn hues, a beauty shared in heaven's gaze. So pause the depths of sapphire views, which brightly shine in goodly days, and soothe the sullen nameless muse of gaudy tones to mend their ways. The joy, the peace this paradise brings, of placid tones in shades of gold, and feel the calm the quietude sings, but speaks in dreams I heard foretold. Such gentle sway of hopeful things, the daybreak sees my soul behold.
Wonderful read and write there, Arcana. Absolutely stunning, the rhyme, the flow, the imagery. I like the sense of peace within these lines. You know, it's such a meditative write, looking, you know, the imagery and the metaphor within, looking at the idea of how peaceful and you know, gentle on the spirit the new light of the morning can be. I really like the frost of morn birds hushed farewell and sees fair dew that gently fades. How sweet a chorus the song to tell, which sweeps my ears in verdant glades. The taste of innocence there to dwell, which flutters in trilling serenades. And he really just paints a picture with his words, with his choices, like, where drifts the clouds over autumn hues, a beauty shared in heaven's gaze, so pours the depths of sapphire views, which brightly shine in goodly days. Definitely a sense of the romanticism style within these lines. Beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. I thought this piece was pretty amazing. There's so many of them in this, in the last two shows that, God, you know, they're just as good, if not better than the originals in some ways. Just incredible work all the way around. And that goes for many of our poets that have shared with us, that's for sure. Not any one in particular. But I thought this was just a beautiful piece, a wonderful reflection of the prompt. Incredible work and imagery. God, I love the imagery in this. But the stanzas I got there, the frost of morn bids hushed farewell, and sees fair dew that gently fades. How sweet a chorus the song to tell, which sweeps my ears in verdant glades. The taste of innocence there to dwell, which flutters in trilling serenades. Where drift the clouds o'er autumn hues, a beauty shared in heaven's gaze. So pours the depths of sapphire views, which brightly shine in goodly days. And soothe the sullen nameless muse of gaudy tones to mend their ways. Just absolutely a gorgeous write all the way through. I really enjoyed each one of the stanzas. But those two really stood out to me, and I thought they were just beautiful. So, yeah, incredible work, Arcana, and, you know, definitely something to be extremely proud of. You know, I mean, really amazing. So thanks for sharing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Wonderful comment. And up next for the next classic poem we have is The Journey of the Magi by T.S. Eliot, and we have an audio for that.
Okay. I am. Yes, it is. And here we go.
The Journey of the Magi. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey. The ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter. And the camels galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces on slopes, the terraces and the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the camel men cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women and the night fires going out and the lack of shelters and the cities hostile and the towns unfriendly and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end we preferred to travel all night sleeping in snatches with the voices singing in our ears saying that this was all folly. Then at dawn, we came down to a temperate valley, wet below the snow line, smelling of vegetation, with a running stream and a watermill beating the darkness, and three trees on the low sky, and an old white horse galloped away in the meadow. Then we came to a tavern with vine leaves over the lintel, six hands at an open door dicing for pieces of silver, and feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information, and so we continued and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place. It was, you may say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago, I remember, and I would do it again, but set down this, where we led all that way for birth or death. There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death.
That was another wonderful read. Great classic poet, T.S. Eliot. Very, very intelligent. And
house ran off, just saying.
Yeah, I was going to say that didn't sound a lot like house.
No, I didn't quite.
But,
I don't know. Interesting.
He decided to take the night off.
Amen. Must be. Okay.
And inspired by that, we have Melechior of Persia, and by Richard Wiseman, and we have a SoundCloud for that.
Okay, and here we go.
Melechior of Persia, by Richard Wiseman. One, we three kings. I, Melchior, once reigned as king over vast and varied Persian lands before these meeker final days of life. I recall that sacred season in approach of the solstice, when, gazing north, I witnessed the rising of God's brightest star, rare formed from alignment of Saturn and Jupiter, till it blinded as it crossed over Persia's cold, wintry night sky. This celestial sign called me westward on an ass back, and so Persia's courtly maidens combed clean my long gray beard and anointed my crown with sacred oils. Yes, royal pages filled my saddlebags with gold as a gift for that timeless infant king of the Jews and savior of all mankind. Simultaneously, approaching Jerusalem, my swarthy, thick-bearded, middle-aged, kingly brother did come on camelback from Arabia, bearing yellow rocks of frankincense to show this Christ as priest most high and foreshadow the Son of Man's untimely death. Next, a woodsy scent flowered, then flamed our nostrils, as we two elder magi glimpsed Caspar, young king of Kandahar, bearing his gift of myrrh, so heaven's newborn Christ might heal old wounds of man. 2. Prophecy fulfilled. Onward through bleak Judean desert night we traveled, ever guided by God's blinding winter light, till it came to rest above a manger in Bethlehem, where a choir of heavenly angels sang praises and wept for the Virgin Mother and infant God, till all were quelled. Then we drew near, bowed low our crown-heavy heads, and presented these earthly gifts. 3. Aftermath. Soon after, we each returned to our antique lands, renounced our temporal empires, fed the poor with kingly riches, and waited for the hollow voice of one crying in the wilderness, and later still, for silence of a star-crossed death. End of poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Richard. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. This is a nicely written vignette, a great takeoff of the chosen prompt. And I do know that this particular poet, T.S. Eliot, seems to be one of Richard's favorites. I really thought that, I like how he tells a familiar story, but adds depth and layer to it by really going into attention to detail. And he reminds us of what a time of change this was, from where you start with the three kings traveling, and they traveled a long way. In fact, I think I read before that believed that they actually didn't reach Jesus until he was around 3 years old. And then onto the fulfillment of the prophecy and then onto the aftermath. And amazing lines all the way through, but I do have to say, I particularly liked these lines. Onward through bleak Judean desert night we traveled, ever guided by God's blinding winter light, till it came to rest upon a manger in Bethlehem, where a choir of heavenly angels sang praises and wept. You know, to me, this is one of those poems that just needs to be brought out, like, every Christmas season and be read. And I like the first-person narrative of this. And, you know, how it's told from the perspective of a king from a faraway land. Just a wonderful rite, speaking on both spirituality and history, and very well done. And your thoughts, Jean? Are you on mute?
Of course I am. I had to do it at least once, right?
Of course. But look how long you made it before you That happened.
I know. I was so proud of myself, too.
Like
I was studying all of them. But I thought this was just an amazing piece by Richard. Incredibly detailed work and a fabulous take on that chosen prompt. I thought it was very well done. I thought it was a strong piece. You know, there was a lot of strong imagery, and it had a certain weight to it, you know. As I call it strong, you know, it's just a well-weighted piece. And I really enjoyed it. And the three vignettes I saw were pretty amazing. The first one I thought, okay, you know, I was with the, you know, the Magi thing. And then he got to the prophecy fulfilled. But then when the aftermath, I was kind of like, wow, you know, it ended on that kind of solemn note, you know, which kind of brings it back to like where that all went, you know what I mean? And, but I think it was just incredible. I really do. I think it was, the story was well told. And I'm with you. I like how he presented it from the point of Melchior. I, Melchior, once reigned as king of a vast and varied Persian land. I don't know. It was just incredible. And I agree with you. It should be brought out every Christmas. So we'll have to remember that, okay? Remind me, Pam. We'll get it.
Yes, I absolutely will. I'll remind you, and you can give Richard a poke.
Honestly, guys, do you think I won't?
No, exactly.
Thank you, Richard, very much for sharing this with us. It was a wonderful piece and a great, great addition to this show, that's for sure. So that's wonderful. So, Pam, that leaves us with 3 minutes and one more poem. So
yes.
I guess we're going to
yes.
have to
carry that. But
two?
We will
oh,
go ahead and we will get that done. And I apologize because while I was scrolling, my eyes accidentally skipped over poem.
I only caught it because I saw it on my unplayed list, and I'm like, wait a minute, what is that? And I went and I looked.
Yeah, well, and the funny thing is I had caught it too, but not until after we were playing Richard's recording. So, yeah,
right.
I'm glad you said something. I'm glad you said something.
Right.
So the next classic poem we have is Adelstrop,
right.
which is by Edward Thomas, and we have an audio for that.
Okay, let me put it up.
Yes, I remember Adelstrop, the name, because one afternoon of heat, the express train drew up there unwontedly. It was late June. The steam hissed. Someone cleared his throat. No one left and no one came on the bare platform. What I saw was Adelstrop, only the name, and willows, willow herb and grass, and meadow sweet and haycocks dry, no whit less still and lonely fair than the high cloudlets in the sky. And for that minute a blackbird sang close by, and round him, mistier, farther and farther, all the birds of Oxfordshire and Gloucestershire.
Great recording there, a beautiful classic poem. And inspired by that, we have No More War, We Pray for World Peace, by Rose Winter 515, and it goes like this. No more war, we pray for world peace. Edward Thomas, a favorite poet of mine, a Georgian writing in time of great upheaval, the great war that changed the world forever. His war experiences contrast so starkly with the sublime calm and peace of an English rural railway station on a hot June day in 1914. He gave his firsthand experiences of being an express train passenger when the steam engine made an unexpected stop at Adelstrop, beautifully describing blackbirds singing, gorgeous calm sweetness of Gloucestershire, countryside of meadow sweet and willow herbs. In the dark days of World War I, this poem symbolized what was at stake, the loss of all calmness and peace just eternal terror of war and home. What a wonderful right. And your thoughts, Dean?
You know, I think that this was excellent, actually. The chosen poem, the original classic, I thought was very good, and it carried a definite reverence to it with what had gone on. And I think that this poem puts it out there and really, you know, we pray for world peace. I mean, really, what more could we ever ask for in this lifetime? But Edward Thomas, a favorite poet of mine, a Georgian, writing in time of great upheaval, the great war that changed the world forever. And, you know, it's a wonderful nod to the poet himself. And I think that Rose Winter really she really did him justice. And I think it was just a wonderful, wonderful nod to him. Great tribute. You know, I think it was just very well done. Very well written. And just fabulous.
It is. I have to agree. And yes, you're right. You know, what more can we ask for except, you know, world peace? And this is not only a great reflection on the chosen prompt, but as you were saying, it's a wonderful tribute to the poet himself and to how his poetry, his poem, reflected his war experience with war. You know, I really like how, you know, she writes about what she sees and what she has learned through the poem or through reading about the poem. And powerful ending lines. In the dark days of World War I, this poem symbolized what was at stake, the loss of all calmness and peace, just eternal terror of war. So, wow. Just those are lines that hit hard, and very well done, Rose Winters 515. Thank you. And great show tonight, Jean. Thank you, as always. Yeah, thank you. And you're my twisted sister. And thank you to all of those who wrote for the show or listening while we were on live or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And great big shout out and thank you to Stargazer, Stelina, Silent Tree. I know we had, I think, at least a couple others, didn't we? Hanging on the board.
Absol showed up, one of our newest. Yes, and I mean, I don't know if we had another one. I saw Absol. And I didn't see Silent Tree, so I apologize for not saying hello.
Well, I think, she just came in about 15 minutes ago, but I say, you know what, I count it, so, you know, and she's been listening the whole time. She said, hello, everyone. Wow, was just listening into the show on the drive home. Everyone brought their A game to this competition.
Yeah, it really was a great contest and a lot of great poems, and I really did enjoy it. I think it was just something different, you know. It wasn't gave people just a different outlet, a different and I like the fact they got to choose their own poet. We weren't saying, hey, we want you to write for so-and-so. You know, hey, bring us your favorite. Show us what you like. Show us how you, what it is that you enjoy. And I think that's great. It's a nice nice change sometimes. I like that.
I have to agree. Yep.
So anyway, it was a great show, Pam. Thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight. And I had fun hanging out with you. And, great poetry. And it was fun.
It was, and I had fun hanging out with you, and good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but, you know, I'm ready to wind down and eventually get some sleep. So.
Yeah. I like the wine part, not wind.
Yeah.
Yeah, in case I do, that would be good.
You may have thought I said wind down, but I actually said wind down.
I wind down, and you can wind it down. That sounds like a good idea. I wish I had one. I don't know. Next time. Next time. Okay, honey.
There
well, listen,
go.
It was good hanging, and I will talk to you tomorrow, most likely. Stay out of trouble. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. If you do, write it down. Let me know how it was. You know, that's my standard. And, yeah, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Pam.
Have a good night.
It was fun. Good night.